God, we praise God for technology, but man, it's sometimes hard to click all the buttons. My goodness. Well, hey, my name is I'm Ben. I'm one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Community Church. If we haven't met before, it is good to have you worshiping with us, whether you are here in person, whether you're online. We are glad to be praising God together. I was having a conversation with somebody before the service today, and they said, man, we have seen God move through prayer this week, and that is really true. If you have been part of our prayer chain, we had a lot of movement, a lot of people that were experiencing some health needs, and God working and moving through it. I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody if I try and list them all, but I know that, and I called him your nephew. I don't think that's accurate. Gavin, a 13-year-old that was on a ventilator with COVID, went home this week in Arkansas. Julie Waddle had her surgery and is back at home as of Friday. Caitlin went to the ER and was not held overnight, praise God. Evelyn Ediger fell last Sunday. I believe she broke her hip, and she has been she had hip replacement surgery. I think it was her left hip, actually, and was transferred from the hospital to a rehab facility for that. The family found out yesterday, though, that she tore her left rotator cuff, though. So please be praying for Evelyn. I know that she and Bob haven't been able to be a part of our physical community in a while, but they're still family. They are still part of our family. They're still part of God's family. And please be praying for Bob and Evelyn, Evelyn especially, as she just navigates healing. We trust that God works. We know that often He works through medicine. Praise God for that. That's good and wonderful, but we trust that God is at work pretty much anywhere, anywhere in our lives, and we trust that for our friends that are experiencing medical needs in this season, that He is at work with them too. Just before we hop into the sermon, I just want to mention yesterday was actually a pretty significant day for me and Caitlin, and for another group that you guys may well know. Yesterday, I got to do my Flatlander ride. So if you are interested in donating to MCC, I'm going to put a sheet out there in the back. I don't have it out just yet. My computer was failing me a little earlier this morning. But if you'd like to donate to MCC, this is a project that raises money to help drill wells in Nicaragua so that people can actually have water, which is something that I used a copious amount of yesterday. I lost 2 pounds on that ride. I weighed myself in the morning, and I weighed myself after I had eaten a full double quarter pounder meal from Sonic. I had still lost 2 pounds. If you want to go on a weight loss routine, I recommend 67 miles of cycling. Anyways, but yesterday was also Caitlin and I's anniversary, which is wonderful. We've celebrated 5 years of marriage together, and it is also our anniversary being here at Cornerstone. Our September 18 of 2017 was my first day on the job here gathered with us, so we've been together for 4 years. To thank you all for putting up with me and just being a blessing to us and a blessing to our family. I joke, putting up with me, you guys have been a blessing, and we are blessed to be a part of this community. Caitlin and I brought some brownie bites in the back, so I asked the ushers, I see them back there now, the kids did not have access to them leaving, so you can have access to them first. If I go quick enough with the sermon, so we are going to try to get to that. But thank you for 4 good years of being together and letting me pastor. Thank you. It has been good. You know Caitlin and I's struggles navigating health stuff. It has still been good in the midst of that, and you are why. So thank you. We are hopping into our third week of the Renew series. We'll see if it catches up eventually. There we go. Renew. We are in our third week of our Renew series, where we're talking about God helping us relearn the things that we knew and how that causes renewal in our life. And this is our word for today, actually talking to God about renewing us, renewing our hearts, renewing our minds this week. And we are asking God to renew us this week. We are not asking God to restore us. There's actually a difference in those two words. Restoration, restoring something, talks about a return to what you once had, returning to a former condition, place, position. Restoring what once existed, what once had. Making it original again. Sometimes restoration projects go great. Just frankly, I think of Jake's truck, your restoration on your old truck, Ken's El Camino. I don't know if there are other restoration projects. I'm sure there are in our church family. Sometimes they go really great like that. Sometimes the restoration project doesn't go so hot. Caitlin, I apologize. I sent this to you in an email earlier in this week. You can put it up for our online family. We have to do some stuff with copyright, so I can't show this to them. But there was a painting in Spain. So Caitlin, if you want to put that link in the chat, but there was this painting in Spain at a church that needed to be restored, and it was going to cost a lot of money. And so the church started fundraising for it. And a woman in the church decided, you know what, I can take care of that for us. I can restore that painting. It'll be fine. I'll save the church a lot of money. And she started dabbing it with a paper towel and some water, this, you know, ancient painting, and here is our result. I'll let you guess which the original is. So sometimes restoration, restoration projects don't turn out so well. She had a very good heart, but I think she missed some of the brush strokes on his beard there. But whether the restoration project goes well or not as well, restoration is about restoring what once was. And that can be good in a lot of ways. Yesterday, I was asking for restoration for my knees with 5 miles to go. I got dropped by the group that I was riding with, and restoring those knees, they sounded like a good plan to me. I would have been fine with that. But what we're talking today is not about restoration. It's about being renewed. And there are several definitions for this word renew, renewal. It can be resuming an activity. It can be, you know, renewing your contract with your wireless company or internet provider, things like that. But in the Bible, when we hear the word renew, I think this is the definition that strikes me as the most often used. It's to give fresh life or strength to. Revive, to revive. Renewal gives us fresh life. It revives us. It goes beyond restoration, not just to, you know, what getting something back to the place where it was, but renewal causes fresh life, causes growth. And sometimes that growth, I don't know if you can see the picture there, that's a massive tree. Sometimes that growth might seem small compared to what once was. You might want restoration, but that fresh life, that's where good things happen. Renewal, in whatever circumstance, renewal gives us the chance to go deeper. And my conviction is that we could all use some renewal in our lives, right? We'd all use a chance to renew, to get some fresh life, to revive our lives. Because the last couple of years have kind of been a rougher spot for our world. It's not just us, but it's for our world. I mean, you think just about the pandemic, and you've got people that have been sick. You think about people that have passed away. Their families are grieving. You have people who have lost their jobs, people that have been nervous stepping out into crowds, people that have been nervous about getting the vaccine, people have been nervous about other people not getting the vaccine. You've got people that are nervous about kids wearing masks and other people that are worried about kids not wearing masks, and it just feels like the tension is rising everywhere. Like there's more and more tension, and that's just on one topic. That doesn't even mention, you know, political things that have happened in the previous year, crazy weather stuff, the wildfires, earthquakes, world events, the economy, all these kinds of things. And it just feels like, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like we've been a bit of a punching bag lately in the world. We just, you know, got our hands behind our back and just in a boxing match, but just getting hit and hit, socked over and over again. And this tension is rising, and it feels like everyone's just a little bit nervous. But I think our God has something to say, even in a situation like that. Even in a situation where it feels like everyone's nervous, even in a situation where we are in here and now, we can read Scripture and God can speak to us. And I think He does that for us today in our passage. And so I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to put it up on the screen too if you'd like, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be starting at verse 8. You may recognize the passage that we're in. I believe we sang it earlier. But let's read 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. It's a pretty significant reframe that the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, is doing there. He's helping his fellow believers in this church in Corinth know what he has been going through, what other believers have been going through. And he's helping them understand that when other preachers of the gospel, even when they are being hurt, are being persecuted, being pressed on every side, that happens, but they are not defeated through it. That is not their defeat. That even though things look like defeat in the here and now, it's not an actual defeat. And not only that, through their suffering, through what is happening to their bodies, whether they are being pressed, whether they are being persecuted, hunted down, talked about crushed but not destroyed, that as they are doing that too, they are going through this suffering, this turmoil, even in the process of all of that, they are just sharing in what Jesus did for all of us. That in some small way, what is happening with them is somehow reflective of what Jesus did. That as they are being faithful, as they are sharing the good news, as they are following Jesus and these rough things are happening to them, they are reflecting what God did for all of us through Jesus on the cross. What I hear this passage saying to us is that as believers, when things turn against us, we don't whine, we don't complain, we trust that what we are going through is somehow pointing people, even in our hurt and legitimately our suffering, it is pointing people back to Jesus. And we put our faith in God and we continue on towards Him. But our passage here in 2 Corinthians 4, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with, you know, just us getting beat up, because that would kind of be lame. And that may happen in some of our lives, but we trust that God has something for us to do, and it's not just making us a punching bag. This passage speaks about renewal. Renewal for those who are faithful. In the verses in between, the verses immediately following this, Paul is talking about how he and other workers, other people spreading the gospel, how they have served Jesus so that more, including the church at Corinth that this letter was written to, so that more people would have the chance to believe, that God's grace would reach more and more people. And then we get to this passage. Starting in verse 16 here. Let's go to verse 16 now. So, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. I got to tell you, I needed this verse this week in life. Many of you know Caitlin is on a transplant journey. She is not listed yet, and we had kind of been psyching ourselves up. Our doctors had told us that this might be the week that maybe even was going to be the week that she was going to get put on the list, and so we had been, you know, trying to psych ourselves up, dealing with what that would be, what that would look like. And we went through the testing, and Caitlin got a call on Tuesday morning, and they said, not yet. And to us, it sure looks like her body is dying, because she has very, very little energy. That has even declined in the last couple of months. And that was not the news that we wanted to hear. Just frankly not. Now, there are good reasons for that. It's technical. If you want an explanation, connect with me at some point. Essentially, not listing her now gives her a better chance at getting a heart sooner because of how the transplant list works and some funky things with that. So it's for her benefit. Our doctors aren't just, you know, leaving us out to hang in the wind or anything. Oh, my dear told me that my camera was stuck on the verses. Thank you, love. She's paying attention. Praise God. But it was a hard week for us to swallow the news that we got. It was a little bit deflating. I had hoped that this next step would be a step towards getting things started in terms of taking care of her. And yet, even through that, and especially as I was studying this passage to talk this week, to preach what God has put on my own heart, even as I was studying this passage, I was convicted with our need to trust. To trust in God that even this present suffering, and it is suffering that Caitlin is navigating, that many people in our lives, maybe many of you in here are navigating, that in this present suffering, that God has not abandoned us and that God is at work through us. Our passage says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Paul is saying that he was being renewed, that people that were faithfully following after Jesus were being renewed, that people who were preaching the gospel to their neighbors, that were living the Jesus life, they were being renewed. Maybe not physically all the time, but in their spirit, their soul. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul, I think it's in Romans 12:2, he talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, essentially setting your mind on Jesus, following after Jesus and not on other things. And so if we look at that, we recognize that even though rough stuff abounds, even though there is hardship and hurt and heartache here, even when things are pressing in, our souls are being renewed and nourished and taken care of by God. And not only that, that the hurts, the pains, the things that we are all navigating, they are not here forever. They're not going to be. They are not eternal things. That if we follow Jesus, there is something better waiting for us. Now these hurts and pains, we don't need to minimize them. That's not what I'm trying to do or say. Please don't hear that from me. We don't want to minimize what people are going through, what you may be going through. But we trust that when we follow Jesus, when we are living the Jesus way, that we, when we fix our gaze on Him, that we are looking at something that will last forever. That life with God, whatever eternity ends up looking like or meaning, that life with God eternally, that will be what lasts forever. And that if we fix our gaze on Jesus, we can get through these problems, ugly and tough though they may be. That when we fix our gaze on Jesus, when we are looking at Him, that's where renewal can happen. Renewal isn't something, you know, you can just manipulate or manufacture into being. We can't artificially make it happen, but we can prepare ourselves for it. We see hurt and suffering and fear in our world, even in ourself. But what happens in the midst of renewal, when our hearts, when our minds are being renewed, what's happening there is putting our faith, maybe a fancier word for trust, putting our trust in God and in what He did for all of us through Jesus. A trust in God, that God has not abandoned us wherever we're at in our lives, that God has not abandoned you. I once heard that that is what all of us actually want to know, is that God has not abandoned us. Because sometimes when we're going through stuff, it feels that way. But our Lord has not abandoned any of us. And if you are fixing your eyes, if you are gazing, if your gaze is fixed on Jesus, that's where life is, and that's where renewal can happen. We are pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, knocked down but not destroyed, because all of these things will pass away. But if our eyes, our gaze is fixed on Jesus, that's where the life is. Fix your gaze not on your problems, but on what Jesus is doing in your life. That's how I got through the last week. That's how Caitlin got through the last week. That's how Christians throughout the world, throughout time, have gotten through their weeks. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. There are a couple of ways to do that. There are a couple of ways to fix your gaze on Jesus. There are things that we mostly know. To fix your gaze on Jesus, you need to be connecting with Him somehow. Usually we call that prayer, spending time in prayer, reading your Bible. That's a great way to connect to Jesus, reading what Jesus did, and often I find that God communicates with me in that way, that I'm able to connect with Him there. Fellowshipping with believers, that's another way that we can connect with God and connect with each other. And that last one, that fellowshipping with believers, I think that does a really good job of fixing our gaze on Jesus. Because you can do things in a group, you can do things with a group of people that you can't do by yourself. You just can't. I mentioned I was at the MCC Flatlander yesterday. That was the bike ride down in Newton. And just by luck, I happened to run across a group of cyclists that let me tag along with them. They were very experienced cyclists, and they let me draft, and praise God, they never made me take a turn up front. I don't know if you know this, but when you're drafting, you're using 30% less leg power to keep up. And I was barely keeping up to begin with. I can't imagine what the people at the front were doing. But my average pace there was 18.2 miles an hour. It was nuts. I've never gone over 16 by myself. And I did that. That's the average for 67 miles because this group of people was basically carrying me behind them the entire way. When you are connected, when you are part of a group, you can do things that you can't otherwise. You can't do it otherwise. And when you are connected, when you are, as believers, when we are fellowshipping together, when we are connected and doing life together, somehow that makes us fix our gaze on Jesus in a way that we cannot otherwise. And so there are ways to do that too. For many of us gathering together on Sunday mornings, this is how we are fellowshipping together. Many of us are in Sunday school. That may be another way that you can be fellowshipping together. Sometimes we talk about iron sharpening iron as believers, so one believer sharpens another. Another way is small groups. Gene and I have been talking about trying to get some small group things going for a while, and we've struggled a little bit to find some leaders, but I think maybe even the best thing is just to say, are you willing to be a part of a small group? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a sign-up sheet out in the lobby just to put down if you are interested in being a small group. And again, I recognize that our world has plenty of things going on, and that is no exception with the people in this room, the people joining us online. Your lives are busy, I know. I hear, I understand, and I'm not meaning for you to do one more thing, but if there is a way for you to participate in small groups, you can do things together that you cannot do by yourself, and you can encounter God in ways that are meaningful and amazing. And for whatever reason, we often don't experience that on our own. However you find a way to connect with others, with fellowshipping, with spending time in prayer, with reading what God has said to Christians throughout the ages, all of these, doing all of these things can make your life fertile ground for renewal. And sometimes renewal is this big, momentous thing that happens all of a sudden, right at once, that renewal happens and bam, it's there. But I think more often, renewal in our lives are the slow, steady, deliberate choices that we make. The person, I think of the person that's at the gym lifting weights day after day, or the person that is studying to learn a new language or studying for this specific skill, and 6 months go down the line and they take a look at themselves and what's going on in their lives and they're like, wow, I can't even believe it. Look at where I was and where I am now. I think those slow, steady, deliberate choices are how often we experience renewal in our lives. And so I want to ask, will you commit with me? Will you commit with me to fixing your gaze on Jesus? Whatever strategy you want to take out of what we've talked about, or maybe there are other ones, but will you commit to fixing your eyes on Jesus, to keeping your eyes on Him, to following after Him together? I'm going to pray. I just want you to join me if you would like. Join me in your spirit. We trust that we don't have to be praying out loud in order for God to hear us, because God is God, and He's smarter than we are. And so if we're thinking it, we trust that God hears and understands. But also, I'm going to ask if you agree, if you'll say amen with me, because amen essentially means I agree. And so I'm just going to pray, and if you'd join me in saying amen at the end, if you want to do this, let's pray together and let's ask God to help us keep our gaze fixed on Him. God Almighty, help us keep our gaze on You. Help us to fix our eyes on You. We know that life is sometimes hard and difficult, and there are rough spots, and many of us have gone through them or are going through them. And yet, we know that these are not the summation, the everything that is going to be in our lives. We know that that is actually You. That when we fix our eyes on You, these troubles that we encounter, we recognize them as temporary, and that does not take away from their power or their ability to hurt us. But God, we entrust them and we entrust ourselves to You. Help us keep our gaze fixed on You. Whether it is through praying, talking to You like this, whether it's through reading Your Word, seeing what You have to say, whether it is through gathering in groups of believers together and just fellowshipping with one another, doing things together that we can't do by ourselves. God, we ask that you would make us ready for renewal. Because we need it in our lives, and our world for sure needs it. Our world needs us to be renewed so that we can bring Your life, Your fullness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your truth, peace, love, kindness, all of that to our world, because our world needs it desperately. God, help us fix our eyes on You so that we can be renewed, so that You would be renewing us every day. We ask this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, and all God's children said, amen. Church family, go preparing for renewal. We don't know when renewal comes. We don't know if it is already occurring, already happening in our lives. I sense that it is for some of us. But may you go this week knowing that you are being renewed every day, that if you are faithful, you will be renewed in your heart and your soul. So go trusting in God, keeping your eyes fixed on Him. Blessings to you, church family. Go in peace.